Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to go now to that news conference in Orange County.
Sherwood, Sherwood, with the Orange County Fire Authority, and I'm an incident commander for the Coastal Incident. I'd like to start off with a couple numbers and updates for you. Currently, we're at 200 acres. We have a 15% containment. Right now, I would like to take the moment to thank all of our assisting agencies from LA County, Riverside County, San Diego County, and especially thank you to CAL FIRE and their resources. Without their assistance, we would not have the success that we have currently. Talk about damage and destroyed structures. Currently, we have 20 destroyed structures and 11 damaged. And that assessment has been completed, and we continue to work with the City of Laguna Niguel to handle and address any of the impact residents in that community. Talking about our upcoming weather, we still had afternoon winds and we expect the weather to get hotter and drier over the next 2 days, so that'll still continue to challenge all of our firefighters in our efforts toward containing this fire. Currently we have 550 firefighters assigned to the incident. We have reported a second injury. I am happy to report all of our firefighters that have been injured have been assessed at the hospital and have been released. For the community, we want to take a moment and say thank you for all their patience. We are continuing to work diligently in all of our efforts to not only contain the fire, but to address all of those that have been impacted with their homes, and we will continue with that effort. But we want to thank them for their patience, and we will continue to work diligently each night until this fire is put at 100% containment. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Captain Virgil Asuncion, V-I-R-G-I-L, Asuncion, A-S-U-N-C-I-O-N. And I am the chief for Laguna Niguel Police Services. First of all, I just want to reach out to the community and those individuals that have been affected by this fire. My heart goes out to you. We have approximately 900 residents evacuated from their homes in Laguna Niguel. We want to thank those residents who evacuated quickly that assisted us to get our jobs done. We know we've lost some homes. This is devastating and has major impacts to our entire community. We are here to support you and support the city. Evacuation orders remain in place at this time. Updated maps of evacuation areas and road closures can be seen at ocsheriff.gov/coastalfire. The question on everyone's mind is repopulation. We have received more than 1,250 calls to our hotline. Most are asking about when they could go home. It is vital that it is safe to repopulate for the residents and for our fire personnel that is fighting the fire out there. The worst case scenario would be allowing people back into their homes, then having them to re-evacuate. We ask for patience from our residents. Information will be shared about repopulation on ocsheriff.gov/coastalfire and on the Twitter page of the Orange County Fire Authority at OC Fire Authority. Road closures remain in place. We ask anyone who does not have a legitimate reason to be in the area to please stay away. Again, thank you to our partner agencies and to the Laguna Niguel community. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and for being here. At this moment, we're going to open it up to a few minutes of questions. And after that, we'll conclude. In advance, thank you for your time for being here today for a 5 o'clock press briefing.
So I can comment on a few things. And so in the firefighting world, some of the things that we look at are what impacts or what drives a fire is the fuels, the topography, and the weather. And when all three of those come in alignment like we had yesterday, we have the devastation that we see today. So the fuels are extremely dry, as we know. Where the homes are located there off Coronado Point and Vista Montemar, they sit directly above some drainages that channel the winds. And the winds yesterday were extremely fast, extremely strong. And when all three of those components come together, there is very little that the firefighting efforts can do. The biggest thing that we want to do is get the folks out of the way. That's where the evacuations come into place. And so that's unfortunately what we had in the situation here on the Coastal Fire. It was really those fuels being as dry as they were, the strong winds and the alignment on the topography is what created the devastation. We are very fortunate. It is not more homes and we have no loss of life, which is fantastic and in our mind is a success. So currently the investigators are still working on the cause. So it is still undetermined at this time and they're still working on that. I don't have a comment that investigators are still investigating what the cause of the fire is.
Chief, we can see that the smoke a lot that has come away since yesterday. Is the thought that containment might escalate here in the next day?
Absolutely. I would expect the escalation of the containment as the days to come. However, we still have a lot of work, not only in the vegetation side of it, but also throughout the homes that have been impacted by this incident.
Chief, you mentioned 20 structures destroyed, 11 damaged. How many of those are like actual homes?
I'm sorry, all of those are residential homes.
Chief, on the southwest side of that fire, we have noticed there may be some yellow-red tape covering some area. Do you know if that is a possible ignition source? Do we have any idea if this is what you guys are looking at, where the fire may have actually started?
So not knowing exactly the area you're speaking of, saying the southwest, if you do see the fire line tape out there, that could be an area of interest. It also could be a hazard on the fire line. I can't comment exactly what you're talking to about.
Chief, how many stations do you have working on this fire? How many separate stations do you have helping with this fire?
I don't have exact stations. We have 550 firefighters on the fire line, and as I said, we have resources from LA County, Riverside County, San Diego County, as well as from CAL FIRE.
CAL FIRE came in and helped with a lot of air resources yesterday afternoon and last night.
I would love to say we could always use more, but yes, absolutely. CAL FIRE was instrumental in the success we had with this fire. They were instrumental in bringing in all the fixed wing as well as some of the rotary wing that we saw. As of last night, it was OCFA's helicopter that was responding after the sun went down. Gosh, we would always love to have more resources, so yes. However, we were able to have the success we had with the resources we were able to acquire.
From a personal perspective, what was this like to just witness this devastation today in a community that you probably know and care
about? It's tragic. Feel for the residents. To lose a home is, I can't imagine. We don't really have a season for the fire season these days, as you have seen. Here just locally in the county, we've had fires back since February, the Emerald Fire. We had the Jim Fire in March, and now here we are with the Coastal Incident here in May. So the fuels are, unfortunately, are extremely dry. And, Mother Nature, when the winds blow like they do, like I said, most importantly is we get the residents out of the way and make sure that no one gets hurt or tragically lose their life.
All right, we're going to pull out of this news conference now since most of the important information is done, and now we just have every reporter trying to ask a question to show their editors and producers that, yeah, I got my question in. Eh. See, the first lady was about climate change. First person that jumped in.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was the first question. What can you say about the effect of climate change on this fire?
Anyone, first question. How about SoCal Edison starting the fire?
Yeah. A few listeners actually emailed that and says, what do you mean climate change? It's SoCal Edison's wires that came down.
That's right. It's not climate change.
They're going to say climate change caused the heavy winds, you see.
Well, they're full of crap.
And climate change caused the really dry brush, which is burning like crazy.
And climate change causes everybody's rashes, too.
I remember a few years ago, the experts said that droughts are not part of climate change, but that apparently has disappeared.
They're still not. It doesn't matter what crazy people
all right,
say.
Nobody's printing that anymore.
Everything's climate change.
Those are all
crazy progressives that are writing these stories. In the real world, droughts go on for hundreds of years in Southern California. That's what I'm saying. Most people are ignorant of this stuff. So it's really easy for organizations that have a profit motive to manipulate the minds of people who are ignorant. And I probably should come up with a different word because ignorant sounds, mean and insulting. You're just uninformed, okay? you don't know this stuff, and there's no reason you should know. We can't walk around like we have Wikipedia in our heads with the history of droughts. But the truth is, droughts hit California and last for hundreds of years. Our civilization just hasn't lived through that yet. And one day we will. And this place is going to be uninhabitable unless we do something drastic like set up many, many desalination plants, which is what they have in the Middle East. It's what they have in the United Arab Emirates. There's not much rain there either, even less than here. So they have desalination plants. That's what an intelligent society does. They don't go around going, it's climate change, it's just climate change. Shut up. Doesn't matter. Either we have the water or we don't. If we don't have the water, we've got to go get it.
Yeah, they will use anything and any story to call attention to the issue that they believe is ignored.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? SoCal Edison, the way it's PG&E up in Northern California, these companies are irresponsible. They're filled with irresponsible executives who couldn't give a rat's ass how many homes burn, as long as it's not theirs. If it's somebody else's homes, let me guess, they'll send out a press release saying, the safety of our customers is of utmost importance, and we offer thoughts and prayers to the families who've lost their homes.
Yeah, the firefighter that spoke there was asked about the cause. They don't know that yet. There has been some speculation that SoCal Edison may be a factor in this, as they reported some activity on their lines in the area.
At the exact moment the fire started and the power went out in some people's homes.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good bet with the high winds that something came down there or something popped. Just to recap, not a lot new here. 200 acres, obviously not a big fire, but right where it hurts, where these homes were. 15% contained, 20 destroyed structures, and one smart reporter said, are you referring to people's residences when you say structures? And he said, yes.
Good.
11 damaged. Two injured firefighters, they've both been treated and released.
So why doesn't Mr. PR speak use the term residences, homes, structures? I mean, are those outhouses, barns?
Well, yeah, remember when these fires burn in the more foresty areas, sometimes they are just barns and storage huts and things like that.
Storage huts. Farms burn.
And 900 people were evacuated. The evacuation orders are still in place.
I saw one of the
term they use is repopulate, and they're not ready to do that yet.
Repopulate.
Let people go back into their homes.
Boy, they've really made their own little jargon language, haven't they?
The difference here from some of the fires we've seen, it is May. This is a little unusual, is that these were strong coastal winds. This was not a Santa Ana event. And the humidity was actually kind of high. It was like 70%. But the coastal winds, however this started, just started blowing these embers around. And, they ended up getting into people's homes or around their properties where there was vegetation that was really dry.
Remember the,
and that's why it happened so quickly to so many homes.
Remember the weird fire happened in Colorado a year or two ago? I think it was around the holidays.
No.
And hundreds of homes burned in a matter of minutes. And they had extremely high winds, and it was in the wintertime, and just it was a fluke. There was some ignition point, and the winds, create this its own storm, like its own crazy weather.
It just starts blowing embers left and right. They're bound to cling on to something that'll burn big.
And everybody's got vents at the top of their home, where the you know, where you let out the heat in the house because all the heat rises to the top, and that's where the embers get embedded.
Yeah.
In those vents, under the eaves. The eaves have that little part of the roof that slants off the top.
Right. They're talking about the big fires that went through Laguna Beach, 1992. You were there, John Cobalt. Skyline Drive. We flew overhead in the helicopter covering those fires.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was thinking about that today.
They were comparing that to this because that was a lot of homes that burned then, too. I think even more than burned yesterday in Laguna Niguel. But this story was highlighting something called an ice plant, which it's a thick green, and some people find it ugly. But apparently one house that survived on Skyline Drive in Laguna Beach nearly 30 years ago was surrounded by the ice plants, which didn't burn and probably protected the house. They say that didn't work yesterday in Laguna Niguel. Whoever had the ice plants just...
Everything
this
burned.
It was a different kind of fire that just...
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think this bounced from roof to roof because embers were blowing high in the air.
Well, I'm sorry. This is very exciting.
But
the Super Bowl champion Rams schedule has just been released for the new season.
Yeah. Well...
Can you believe...
Any big news?
No, they're going to open up against the Buffalo Bills, which is intriguing. And the Super Bowl champions traditionally open up with the first game of the year on a Thursday night. So we knew the Rams were going to be the home team that day. It was just the opponent that people were waiting to see who it was. And it's the Buffalo Bills, who obviously have a good team. They have really turned this into... I saw a story yesterday that there are people that obsess over this, the schedule. Mm-hmm. They do. I know. You laugh at people obsess over the draft. There are people obsess over the schedule release. And what the NFL did this year is they're parsing out, like they gave little game information over the last 2 weeks. They threw out one game here. Here's the international games for this year. Here's one Monday night game. Here's a third. It's like, wow, they've really turned this into drip, drip.
Well, they
keep the interest going.
They've gotten really good at being a 12-month league where there's always something going on or something you're anticipating.
Yeah, you're right. It's trades. It's the draft. And then after that, it's this stuff with the schedule. There's going to be a lull here, though, until we get the training camps open. So, but I'm sure they'll find some way to fill that void. But anyway, yeah. Well, let's talk about something that... is the number one email to the John and Ken show all week, hands down. What do you think it is, John Cobalt?
Number one email. I don't know. I don't get to see the emails. So I don't have a sense.
A request from people. The voter guide.
Oh, the voter guide, yes.
Oh, my God, we're inundated.
Well.
Folks, and you know what the reason is? Because now for the past few elections, everybody's getting a ballot in the mail.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't always the case. People would vote in person, and they weren't in a real antsy hurry to see what John and Ken were recommending for people voting. But because this huge thing comes in the mail,
yeah.
And it looks a little overwhelming, you probably haven't seen it yet, John, because you're paying attention.
It's sitting unopened in my on my kitchen table.
And but it's a primary election, too. We didn't always do a voter guide for a primary election.
I think we have to now.
Well,
this is a matter of life and death.
The committee put it together, but it's brief. Because you start with U.S. Senator. You know there's like 25 people on the ballot?
Yeah. Well, because
this is the spot held by Padilla, who replaced Kamala Harris. He was appointed by Newsom. So this is the Alex Padilla U.S. Senate seat. This is not Feinstein's seat, although it should
no,
be, right?
This used to be Barbara Boxer's seat.
Right. So we didn't pick anybody. We haven't interviewed anybody. There's clearly... Republicans and Democrats here, they're mostly are Republicans because the Democrat's an incumbent.
Is there any name you recognize?
Not really, no.
So it's just, is it
I recognize one person that ran for governor, and that's what people do. They don't make it for governor. They switch over to whoever's available next. But I don't recognize really any of these people, no. So we couldn't pick anybody. But, you know, if you don't like Padilla, don't pick Padilla. This is, again, a top two situation. So nobody wins. Somebody has to come in second, no matter how few votes they get. Oh, my God. There's actually more than 25. The second page is more here. It's like 32 people running for senator. Then you have your state senate.
The bar is so low. I think all you have to do is pay a fee and get a nominal amount of signatures on a petition, and then you could be on the ballot. I mean, it doesn't...
After that comes you picking your state senator, your state assembly member. Now, we can't weigh in on all those because all of you listeners live in all different districts, so we're not going to help you there. But as
vote
John said the other day, right, vote out incumbents.
How
and
hard
usually
is this?
Democrats.
I mean, vote out the people who've turned California into a disgusting cesspool. Whoever's in office, kick them out. You don't need a line by line, name by name recognition, recommendation. Just that guy's in power. Get him out. Execute him. Gone. I mean, politically, you execute him.
Then comes congressperson, and mine is Ted Lieu. I'm not voting for him.
No.
Then comes sheriff. There he is, right in the middle of the list. Alex Villanueva. That is our recommendation.
Absolutely.
A number of these other people are being put up by the woke crowd. In case you don't remember, Alex Villanueva ran as a Democrat. It was supported by the Los Angeles County Democratic Party. They're very angry over him, which is good. They're not supporting him now.
But we are.
We did really not then.
I know.
How about that for turning things upside down?
Well, I mean, he pulled a fast one on everybody.
Yeah.
He ran as one thing and as governed as another, and that's great.
Homelessness and crime. He cares about the issues we care about.
Yeah.
That's what matters. No woke stuff. And he comes up with some great lines about the woke people. The architects of failure is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the Senate race. I don't know these people.
Then you got all these judges. Folks, we can't help you with the judges, especially your choices will be different than what we have in our ballot because it's judges that are county and local. And then we finally get to the long list for governor. The John and Ken Show has selected Michael Schellenberger. And this is really different from us because he's no party preference. And he used to come from the progressive wing. But if you follow Michael Schellenberger, he was on our show yesterday during the 3 o'clock hour. He has seen the error of their ways. And I would now call him very pragmatic, kind of trying to find a middle ground on these issues like homelessness and crime.
Well, a place where you do what works, which is really the only ideology anybody in public life should have. What works? If you decide that there's an issue that needs the government, right? And that's the first question. Does the government need to be involved here? And if it's clear that the government has to step in, what are they capable of doing that works and works quickly and works for a reasonable price?
Right.
And that's all I'm interested in. I am not interested in, obviously, progressive ideology, but I'm not interested in the Republican conservative ideology. You know, they have their insanity, too, that I'm exhausted by. So all I know is, and this is common sense. You don't have to be a research scientist. You don't have to have a PhD. The homeless situation, which we didn't have for most of our lives, you have to tell them, you have to force them into a shelter or get treatment, or you're out of here. That's it. And fund what you have to fund. But nothing else is going to work if you don't force them. And force is the most important word. And it's a word that a lot of these progressives find. Oh, but that makes me uncomfortable. I get triggered when I hear that. That's an ugly word. I don't know. Oh, too bad. I'm not here to – I don't think any of us should debate this crap anymore. They've had their time. 5 years. It hasn't worked. Failure. Failure. Atomic bomb-style failure.
And one other worth mentioning right now, Attorney General, we are picking Anne Marie Schubert. She's also no party preference, and we believe she has a very direct and pragmatic approach.
See a pattern here?
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million.
Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
All right, well, we were just talking about the John and Ken voter guide, which is pretty brief. A lot of people are emailing us overwhelmed with everything on this primary ballot. A lot of it is judges. There probably are some better resources you can go to. I'm not going to name them to get guidance on voting for judges, but That's not something we cover on a daily basis. Is every now and then a judge comes up on the show because they made some outrageous decision, or like years ago in Orange County, they were involved in
tracking
young boys. Yeah. So, you know, that's when we get involved, but we really overall can't help. You have to do your own research on that. Now, fascinating thing, and KFI is playing these ads. This is a very unusual thing is going on. It appears to be both Newsom and the Attorney General, Rob Bonta, are trying to steer voters into maybe picking an opponent they would prefer to meet in November, if you follow what I'm saying. There's an ad that runs, and it's paid for by Rob Bonta supporters, which seems to draw attention to, or maybe ask you to vote for, a man by the name of Eric Early for Attorney General. Have you been hearing this?
It's to promote Eric Early because they think Eric Early would be a weaker candidate than Anne-Marie Schubert.
And it's to tie Eric Early into Trump. And if they meet Eric Early in November, they love this thing. Mm. We saw it with the recall with Newsom. Just paint all your opponents as Trump people, and that'll fire up your base.
Also, we'll fire up the Trump crowd. See, the Trump crowd that's not following closely who's running for attorney general, and again, most people don't, so they want to know who to vote for. That's why we put out the Johnny Ken voter guide, see? We cut through all this. So they don't know who Anne-Marie Schubert is. Anne-Marie Schubert's not even running as a Republican. Well, which one is a Trump guy?
And they're worried about her.
Right. So
they think if she's number two, this is why they're trying to kind of nudge people towards, or at least recognize the name Eric Early. Now, we've had Eric on the show. He's not a bad guy. But
no, he's not.
Just the politics of this is really incredible. And some people say it's the problem with this top two primary thing, because they're so confident, they have so much money to spend. They now think, well, maybe we can steer people to a selection and it'll be somebody we can beat easily in November.
Look,
a Trump guy, a Trump guy. We love that. All our ads will say he's a Trump guy.
Yeah, but it works both ways. It fires up the base to vote for what they consider the weakest candidate.
Correct.
That is
because
that
again,
that's part of the game.
Bonta could run away with this, but he won't win. There's going to be a number two, and I think they'd like that number two to be Eric Early. That's the idea with those ads. I think one just played about 15 minutes ago on the show.
Anne-Marie Schubert is dangerous because she's not doesn't have the Republican R.
She's not attached to Trump.
She is a current district attorney.
And she stays focused on the real problem with law enforcement and the criminal justice system.
And Rob Bonta is intellectually incapacitated.
And you know what? She's not going to go down the abortion road or any of these other side roads that they want to distract you with. She's focused on like the evils of Props 47 and 57.
She's smart. She speaks really well and in English.
And she has all the facts there.
And Rob Bonta is one of these Newsom jargon spewers who just changes the subject, talks in bland generalities, issues all kinds of progressive proclamations, whether they're true or not. So, yeah, if I was him, I would not want to go one-on-one with Anne-Marie Schubert for 6 months.
Right.
That's probably going to be very unpleasant at times. She can make inroads.
I had to look this up. He is a lawyer, Rob Bonta. I didn't even know that because he was in the legislature, so I didn't know if he was an attorney, but he is.
They all are.
And, well, sometimes it doesn't matter. I mean, look who's the head of Health and Human Services, right? It's that Javier Baccaria who really is.
Well, there's bad lawyers, all right? There's guys who graduated at the bottom of the class. Like Joe Biden was a lawyer, but he graduated 76th from Syracuse.
Right.
So what does that tell you?
Exactly.
And he gets 50, you know, everybody's trying to kill themselves to get to Harvard or Yale Law School. He goes to Syracuse, graduates 76th. He was a senator for 50 years. Now he's president. But you know what? He's a dumb guy. He was a dumb guy at Syracuse. He's a dumb guy now. But he got there.
Apparently, the Newsom ads are trying to steer people towards someone else we did not pick for governor, State Senator Brian Dahle. His stance on abortion. Apparently they would like him to. So they want to get the anti-abortion people, the pro-life people, worked up to make Dahle number two, so Newsom can trounce him in November. You get it?
What's left of the blockheads in the Republican Party in this state? They've never learned, you know, for 30 years, get out of the social issues game. Get out. Stop with the abortion and the gay rights and this and that. Just stop talking about it.
But understand this: If Newsom has to face off against Michael Schellenberger, this would be a whole new animal for him.
Well, Schellenberger's another one. He's not running as a Republican or Democrat.
They don't want him to be number two.
He's very fluent in progressive issues because he used to work out of that realm. And right. He wants to point out all the failures. He wants to discuss in detail how it's failed. And it's all the things that Newsom either believes in or pretends to believe in for public consumption.
He would be able to debate Newsom directly on the same ground. Newsom couldn't distract the conversation with abortion. Trump, you. That wouldn't be a factor.
I would say Schellenberger has at least twice the IQ. I think.
Does Newsom have an IQ?
No, Newsom is hovering around room temperature for an IQ. And I bet you Schellenberger's at least 150. So again, Newsom cannot go one-on-one with Michael Schellenberger. He can't. He's too stupid.
All right. Well, you know, every time you talk about an issue like homelessness, the other side always comes up with, well, we have to have more housing. That's all it is. It's about building more housing. This story is kind of fascinating. In case you haven't noticed, a lot of California is single-family homes. That's what people like.
Yeah.
They like the idea of having their own home, maybe with a small yard, but they're not in an apartment building. They're not in some sort of congregate living situation. We have that all over the state. It's probably one of the reasons that the housing market's always hot here. And people like to live in California, even though hundreds of thousands are leaving. Anyway, according to an analysis by the Southern California Association of Governments, good old SCAG, the six-county Southern California region needs 1.34 million new homes by the end of the decade. That's an average of nearly 168,000 homes per year, adding enough housing for a population roughly the size of Chicago. So they're making local government planners submit their building plans. Where are these new homes going to be built? Show us. Well, the Orange County Register did a story this week, and it starts with South Pasadena, which released a proposed new housing plan. And a guy by the name of Dr. Josh Albrechtson jumped on his scooter. That ought to give you a
chance. Okay. You know right away this guy's a wiener.
He putted around town. He wanted to see. I mean, he actually dug up this South Pasadena proposed housing plan. Who would do that? To see where they're going to put these 2,067 new housing units. Well, he put this out on Twitter. He documented 27 proposed home sites. He thought they have little chance of being redeveloped by the end of the decade. In fact, the reference here is that it's kind of fake.
Mm-hmm.
They included skinny, sloping tracks where home building would be a challenge. Some of the parcels were right up on the Gold Line railroad tracks.
Yeah, those will sell.
One site is bordered by high-voltage power lines. He said, there's no chance homes are going to be built in this manner, as South Pasadena is claiming.
Did you see him? He's a doctor. He looks like such a goof.
Oh, standing on his scooter?
Standing on his scooter. I mean, he looks...
He took this seriously. He wanted to go out and see. I don't know if he has a home or he's really worried about where people are going to live.
A grown man with a medical degree going around on a scooter examining the lots that the city is supposed to build new homes on.
It's simple.
Wow.
It's simple. Where you live right now, do you really want more people moving in and more big homes being built? The answer is no.
Why don't you?
Nobody wants that.
Why do we have to have more people living here? I've never understood that. We're at capacity. There's no vacancy. It's enough. I mean, they're always screaming like, you know, we don't have enough water. We don't have enough electricity. Too much traffic. Okay, we're full. We're full. What's wrong with that? We got over what? How many people? Over 20 million people living in Southern California?
Well, we came here in 1992. People were hostile about us coming here. They thought we were full.
Well, there was actually
plus
protests
we actually,
against
California's
us personally.
Population dropped.
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't know that it's going to keep going up. But second of all, so what does it matter? Why does it have to be managed? Just let the market sort these things out. Right now, people are moving to places like
but
Phoenix
it's not.
And
Some
Dallas.
Some people are squatting on the sidewalk.
No, see, that's...
See, that's what we have to...
No.
I wish it was sorting itself out, but
no.
Some people just say, all right... I can't find a home. I'm going to live here in the park.
No, those are drug addicts and mental patients.
I know, but that's the reality. And the other side is painting that as a housing shortage.
The other side, those people are insane. All right? You can't argue with insane people. You might as well argue with the people in the tents. That's crazy. And normal people know that's crazy. Increasingly, every day, more and more people realize, wow, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. There's no reason any city should be forced to build. Because, you know, what comes with that is lots of traffic, parking needs. I don't want any more people living on my block. Yeah, already.
Well, as you and I have talked about with the Senate Bill 9, I don't want like a four-story apartment building going up next door to me or down the street.
No,
who wants that?
No, I mean, there's only so many people that fit in a place, and you have to wait your turn. Like, we moved into our neighborhood when somebody died. Seriously. And over the next few years, three of our neighbors died.
You didn't kill them, did you?
No. No. I mean, maybe you pushed it along a little, but in the space of just a few years, four lots became available because people died.
Wow.
Right next door to me on both sides and across the street. And so that's what you do. You wait your turn. And if there's no vacancy, then you go somewhere else.
Or you squat in the park.
And if the prices are too high, you go to a cheaper neighborhood.
In fact, there's a homeless guy who's planted outside your house waiting for you to die.
Well, there probably is, you know? There's somebody out there right now. You wait long enough, I'll die. You can buy my lot.
Well, wait, your wife still has to live there.
Well, when she goes. Because I'm definitely
way after you.
I'm definitely going first. Yeah, yeah, she's definitely lasting probably 20 years longer. Conway's here.
Thank you. What do you live in, a retirement community? Where people are dying for you?
Yeah, they're dying left and right.
No, actually, it was a very old neighborhood, and it just
is that right?
Turned over the year that we moved in. Suddenly,
oh wow,
people were dying.
Do you have life insurance?
Yeah.
You know,
lots
what that's,
of it.
You know what that's for, right?
It's for her.
Yeah, so she doesn't have to say yes to the first idiot she meets at a bar.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
She can be a little selective.
There's probably a lot of...
The idiot in the bar with money, you mean.
That's right. Right, she can date for a while before she says, let's go. All right, Corbin Carson's coming on to talk about that fire last night, the coastal fire they're calling it. Then Dean Sharp was supposed to come on last night. He'll be on tonight with us, pending another huge fire and disaster. Unbelievable. You see the photos are unbelievable. What the heck?
Oh, I saw this morning, I saw a $10 million house.
Yeah.
10,000 square feet. It was up for sale.
And a $10 million home in that area is a $25 million home in Bel Air. You know.
Yeah, right. That's like a cut rate neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
So that, they didn't know if anybody was living in it.
Oh, really? Wait a minute, nobody's living in it?
Well, they weren't sure because it might have been put up for sale. But they didn't know.
I saw a house in that neighborhood
that
was put up for sale 8 hours before that fire started.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't burn down, but man, oh man. How about that? That's my timing, right?
Baboon.
Yeah, right.
All right, Conway's coming up.
Ding dong. Let's roll around.
Michael Crozier has the
news. Come on.
KFI.
Fly around here.
KOSTHD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.